In the spring of 1995, I had probably the most important meeting of my life. It was something called my candidacy committee endorsement meeting. This is a meeting where a group of people who don't know me very well get to decide whether or not I would get to become a pastor. I'd already been in seminary, graduate school, for about a semester. My grades were fine, but this committee was less concerned about my grades, although I needed to pass my classes, but they were looking at a whole host of things. They wanted to subjectively decide whether or not I had what it takes to become a pastor, even though I'd only been in seminary for about a semester. I'll be honest, I'm not sure they could make a fair assessment, but that's how what we would put in quotes, the process worked. Every person who was going to seminary, who planned on becoming a pastor, one day had to sit through one of these meetings. And at any moment in time in this meeting, they could pull the plug, and that would be the end of my future. I mean, I could still get a degree, but that would be about it. So now, here's the thing you probably don't know, is that candidacy committees across the Lutheran Church are notorious for being hard on pastoral candidates. Really hard. Harder than they should be. I mean, it seemed like their job wasn't so much to encourage future pastors as it was to weed them out. So when I think of 1995, I don't think it was like a party. That's a picture of the seminary I went to. It looks like a seminary. It's Wartburg Seminary in Dubuque, Iowa. But needless to say, I'll just tell you, no one looks forward to this meeting if you are in the seminary, because the intentions were suspect at best. I mean, I think that it probably looked a lot like, if I remember the meeting right, it kind of looked like that. But on the day of the meeting, I woke up. I was already nervous from the moment I woke up. I didn't sleep well. My future was in their hands. There were four people evaluating me that day. Two pastors, one I didn't know at all and had never met. Two faculty members I haven't even had a class with yet. And so that left one out of the four that I actually knew. So we sat in a conference room at the seminary, and they asked a lot of tough questions about being a pastor. Now, one of the people, the pastor I did not know, decided to take one of my average responses and grill me to no end, because she didn't like the fact that I didn't have a fully developed answer, even though I'd only been in seminary for a semester. Then after that period of time, what they do is they send you out into the hall so they can talk about you. It's usually 20 minutes to a half an hour as they deliberate my future in private. Those are the longest 20 minutes of my life. People walked by me, classmates, other folks walked by me like I was on death row. What seemed like 4 hours had passed, and I was called back into the room where, at that moment, I was approved to proceed. Boy, did I fool them. But I'll tell you, the heaviness of all this uncertainty fell off me like a prisoner who was falsely convicted was finally released. I had gone through the most important, and I still think about it as a moment in time that my life could have changed in an instant. One of the most, still today, one of the most important meetings of my life. And as the meeting broke up, the one pastor that I knew caught me as I was leaving to talk with me privately. And he said to me after the meeting, he said, I just wanted you to know that I was there to watch your back. I wanted to make sure that you made it through. And he went on to tell me that he said, look, he said, you as a first-year seminary student have much more going on and a more fully developed theology than I ever had in my first year of seminary. And I wanted to make sure that nobody derailed your future. I was stunned. I was flattered, too. I mean, I didn't know going into that meeting what was going to happen, but I was sure glad to hear it afterwards. Someone was on my side in that room, and I didn't even know it. I had an advocate. And when I think about uncertain times and uncertain people and uncertain meetings, I think often we have misperceptions about God. We might be kind of sure, but not totally sure. We're not sure of God's intention. Sure, we have Jesus, but what is God really like? Then we have the Jesus, but what else is going on? I think many of us grew up in the church where we were led to believe that God was some sort of heavenly policeman, but not a good one, that was waiting to whack us the minute we stepped out of line. Be holy, be perfect, be righteous, no matter what, or God's going to get you. Maybe not said that way, but that was the implication. Or, if you're going to really be a good Christian, you're going to have to do something short of joining a monastery or a convent or a commune. And you have to give up everything and engage in really boring things that will make you miserable, but will make God happy. And if you don't do that stuff, well, then God just tolerates us for the most part. See, when we are not clear on intentions, we make up the rest. When we're not sure of God's intentions, we stop looking up towards Him. We look for our own answers. And so Jesus knows this. Jesus, being God incarnate, God in human flesh, knows this, and He cuts through all of that. In the middle of the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, and He reminds us, if not new information, He says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. I mean, did you hear that? Jesus is telling us that we can be crystal clear as it relates to God's intentions for us. God has an open door policy, and that we can come to Him and actually wants us to come to Him whenever we have a need. If we're troubled, we can come to Him. If we're confused and need clarity, we can come to Him. If we're lost in life and need direction, we can come to Him. If we're scared or uncertain about something or someone, we can come to Him. Now, when we hear this, sometimes we jump to conclusions. And let's be clear, God is not this. God's not a genie from Aladdin's lamp. God isn't a wish granter and anything goes. We could read into that passage and say, whatever I want, God said He'd give to me, and you will be disappointed. This is about the understanding that God has our best interests in mind and that His intentions are always good. But here's the thing. If we don't believe that, we will never ask, we will never seek, and we will never knock because we're not sure. Now, this isn't my line, but I heard it this past week, and you should remember this. I mean, if you remember nothing else this morning, this is what I'd want you to remember because it is the God's honest truth when it comes to spirituality and your relationship with God. If you believe it, you will see it. It's true. If you believe that God is good, better than any father or mother or person, you will actually see God working in your life, especially when times get tough. If you believe it, you will see it. But it applies equally. If you are not sure about God's intentions, you'll see that too. I think sometimes we need to get beyond what is holding us back to see what's really going on. It is that important. So if you decide today, once you leave here, once we've had communion together, once we've sung hymns to God, once we've had fellowship, if you leave here today saying, I'm going to trust God, that God's intentions are good for me, and I'm going to start believing that with my whole heart and start looking for it, I guarantee it, you're going to see it. You will see God's goodness in your life. Now, we are built to ask questions. That's who we are. We're a curious lot. And here's the thing. When we ask questions of others, ask, seek, knock, things like that, it is our human nature to frame a request or a question based on what we know of the character of the other person. It's very similar of how a child would ask a parent a question. A child with a parent who is gentle, loving, kind, even firm, never fears to ask a question of their parent because deep down they have this assurance that no matter what they ask, this parent will listen and love them and be kind to them, even if the answer is no. And that child trusts that parent because they know that parent would do anything for them. A child with an extravagant but uncaring parent, that child may ask and demand things with an arrogance and an entitlement, knowing that every desire would be met, and then get away with it. Now, on the opposite end, a child with a stingy or ill-tempered or abusive or even an inattentive parent might seldom ask for anything, knowing the kind of response they will get. We ask questions based on, and the way we frame them, based on the character of the person we are asking. So how we view God will either correctly or incorrectly determine the way we ask, seek, and knock. And that's why Jesus is talking about it, because there are a lot of misperceptions about who God is and what God is really like, even in Jesus' time. The religious folk of the day, they portrayed God as a taskmaster. They expected everybody to toe the line, religiously and otherwise, and if not, it's going to be bad for you, and God will get you. Jesus comes along and says, look, God is way more like a parent than a taskmaster. And your heavenly Father is way more approachable than the most loving father or mother. Even if you have the best parents in the world, your heavenly Father is way better. If you believe it, you'll see it. I mean, it's kind of like going to the pool and you don't want to swim. You'll dangle your feet over and kind of cool your feet, but that's more than enough. Sometimes our willingness to fully trust God and God's intentions is like that. I'm not going to get all the way in, but I'll get part way in. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. We're fully comfortable with asking. We're going to do that in a little bit. We're going to pray in a little bit. We do that here every Sunday. We might ask God for things in our prayers and this and that, and we might be thinking, see, God, we know what you're about. We're praying. We're asking for stuff, some really important stuff. But that's where it ends. We might forget by tomorrow what we actually prayed for. By the time Monday morning rolls around, what was it that we prayed for in church? I mean, I'm guilty of it too. We don't spend equally enough time seeking and knocking. We're only a third of the way into the pool. Up to our calves, that's about it. I mean, whether it is we don't take the time, or we're too busy with other stuff, or we're seeking our own answers, we're only partway in. But if we take the time to ask, let's take the time to seek the answer. Let's take the time to seek a response. And Jesus told us if we seek, we will find. There will be an answer. Yeah, and there are going to be times we don't like the answer. I get that. And that's why Jesus says one more thing. He says, after you seek, start knocking. Because outside of the answer, there may be new opportunities, new ways to look at things, new ways to cope, new ways to deal. And I'll tell you, once again, if you believe it, you will see it. I mean, God may say no to something for whatever reason, and you might even disagree with it, you not even understand it. We've seen it with illness and loss in our own lives. We get that. But Jesus says, don't give up. Start knocking. Because there will be a door to walk through if you choose to walk through it. Even if the answer you're seeking is no, there'll be an opportunity to grow, to change, to move. Even when you receive an answer you don't like, that's how good God is, because God never gives up. I know that when I believe it, I start to see it. Now, even the wisest king of all time, wisest person, Solomon, in Proverbs, he makes commentary on this thing too, not the same way, but in the same general vein. And this is what Solomon says. Look, if you want better insight and discernment and are searching for them as if you would search for lost money or hidden treasure, then wisdom will be given you. And the knowledge of God himself. You will soon learn the importance of reverence for the Lord and trusting him. For the Lord grants wisdom. So he even says if you start looking for it, you're going to find it. But just the reminder, it's not about getting smarter. I think we get totally derailed in the Christian family when we think about hunting for God and searching Scripture is about getting smarter. That's not about getting smarter. It's about growing closer. Jesus' words, Solomon's words, God's words are always an invitation to grow closer. And when we talk about intentions, I mean, God has done all the heavy lifting. Jesus was lifted onto a cross to show his love and God's intentions in a way that is so clear that we display it right here in our worship room, right here. It is clearer than the clearest day how much God loves us. So feel free not to just ask, but to take the time to seek and to knock. Because if we do, we might be surprised at the doors that might open for us. Amen.